The Proteas have given us something that we haven't had, well, for the, all of Sandile's life, and obviously a little bit more less of mine. We are in the final of an ICC Men's World Cup. It was hard to even say it because I've never used those words in sequence before, but that's it. The Proteas won their semi this morning, so it's an incredible time to just basically unravel all our emotions right here on the Bounce Show with you. Of course, there's so much other sports to get into as well. There's so much rugby to unpack. There's so much football with the CASAFA Cup and the Euros. We've got MMA. We've got Grand Prix. It's the start of Wimbledon. There's just so much. Thanks for being here with us. Let's get into it. All right, so normally this time of the show, we are cracking beers. But, you know, we've had this Clipter of Premium in the studio for quite some time now. And we said we were going to... Dude, you're in the way of the camera here. we said that when something special happens in the show, we're going to basically break out the Clipter of Premium. And that's where we are right now. I mean, I know everyone's got a story of how they watched the game this morning because it was 2:30 in the West Indies that kicked off. So everyone's got a story about whether they stayed up for it. I personally didn't. I like my sleep at my age. I need to get it. I have to have my sleep. And then the funny thing was that when I watched this morning, when I turned it on, it said there, target 64. And all this muscle memory and scar tissue, I was like, okay, shit, 64. That must be a Duckworth Lewis score. How many balls have we got to get this? But actually, it wasn't. It was just 64, whatever it was. We bowled that well.
Ben, what a day.
What a day.
I'm on a few hours of sleep. It was awesome. Clinical. You know, we've both been waiting for that. Clinical performance. Our bowling was absolutely insane. Like you, I'm shocked to say the words.
Slightly shooketh, yeah.
Finalist. Pro Tiers. Also, as you trademarked, the undefeated.
Yeah.
Pro Tiers. I think it's super exciting. I'm happy that we're going to pop off our premium finally, and we're not going to be doing it for the last time. We'll be doing it again in a week.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, we've been inherently doubtful of the Pro Tiers throughout this tournament just because of our past. It is so refreshing to see how great they can perform and how clinical they were. I mean, through the power play, we just chomped them down. And, you know, before I even continue talking about the Pro Tiers, I want to talk about how great Afghanistan have been throughout the tournament. Outside of Makram and his captaincy, I think Rashid Khan has been absolutely brilliant as a leader. Even as little as they got yesterday, he made sure his bowling attack defended or give it some respect. They bowled 18 dot balls in that power play. And, you know, complete, you know, thumbs up to them and where they're going as a program. They took out Australia. And, you know, anytime Australia loses, the world smiles.
They did, and, yeah.
A funny joke is apparently Duckworth died the day before we...
He did.
So he was like, look, as long as I make sure these guys go through. Pro Tiers, thank you, bro. Thank you.
It's a good point that you make because it's not like there was rain-affected games. There was no results. Someone got lucky and Afghanistan were in the semis. They got there because they were good. They were really good. And I know there's going to be lots of talk about the pitch at the Brian Lara Oval. New pitch, untested, into a semi-final. It wasn't exactly easy to bat on.
It was terrible to bat on. And even when we came on, I mean, when Quinny went out, it was balls were going everywhere, pause. But, you know, it was just a crazy, crazy pitch. But look, we are there for the entertainment of cricket. We're not really there as experts of pitches or gardening. You know, I'm really happy that Pro Tiers get through and we got what we wanted in terms of pure clinical bowling. And batting, look, we get through it.
Yeah, speaking of get what you want, you half made those drinks. We're in the Bermuda Triangle here of those clip trips coming to us. So we've got to ask the question, while Sandile finishes up there, we've got to ask the question, what's different? You know, like this Proteas team has had a lot of talent for quite some time now. They've had BMT, they've had the star players, but why all of a sudden now have we won 8 out of 8? Like, what's different? I'll start with you, because I've got very big opinions on this.
I think, and it's a strange thing to say, for me personally, I think it was the expectations weren't as high as we always put onto them, which is a weird thing to say as a fact. But it is the first time where it feels like we have a pure strategy. Even though in the beginning we felt like, do we bowl good? Do we bat good? Do we do anything good? And it was close. Then it was super close. But this time it felt like the superstars switched it on. I think ever since we criticized Rabada earlier in the World Cup, he's just been on. and he leads from the front, and Nokia is, you know, I think our bowling, I'd like to say our bowling is probably our strongest suit now.
Yeah.
Quinton de Kock also knows. I feel like he thinks this might be his last run, but
oh, it definitely is.
I feel like he's got more in the tank. Yeah, he's not that old. I don't know why he's going to do that, but he should stick around. But it feels like the quality of our bowling is actually our strong suit. And for the first time in South African history, our spin is absolutely amazing. You know, that's always been the biggest issue for us. But like Shamsi and Maharaj coming through, and you know, cheeky captain broke coming in with a cheeky off break. Yeah. You know, went to Graham Smith and the off break. It's such a South African thing. Well, captains do off break spin randomly, but I really love his strategy, and he's been leading from the front as well. So it's strong leadership. I want to say that, because Markram has really, really gotten the guys to get going.
So I would say that is the reason. That is right there. If someone was looking at all the results and someone suddenly said, "Oh, what's happening here?" Yeah. Markram as a captain. So I was watching, I think it was Ryan Freda on Twitter yesterday, was talking about Markram as a captain, because in under 19 World Cup, he was the captain there and they won the 19 World Cup, right? Then he had two games in the World Cup last year and he won both those games as captain. So technically he is what, 16 wins, zero losses as captain in World Cups. Like, that's pretty impressive, right?
Where has he been our whole lives?
Well, he's kind of been there, but he's not being well utilized. Now, I've got a kind of theory, and I know people are going to probably pick this apart and it's not based in science, but Cricket South Africa had this weird thing where they made Quinny the captain, then they made Temba the captain. Mm. I believe humans are quite simple, right? It's the stick and the carrot for a lot of people. We need inspiration and we need encouragement. I don't think you can have soft-spoken short people captaining sports teams.
That is crazy.
I just don't think you can do it. Markram's tall. He's got quite a masculine approach. He's got a presence about him. So I just think primarily, first and foremost, it's a stature kind of thing.
Yep.
And another thing about cricket is that you can't just make someone captain. You've got to actually have a captain, because in rugby, if you're the captain of a rugby team, blick some guys, score tries, score points, lead from example, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Cricket's endless strategy. It's 100%. Field placements. It's understanding your bowlers. It's gauging the BMT. How nervous is an oak? This is that.
Yeah.
And then you've got to do your own primary thing, which for Markram is batting.
Yeah.
So I think I'm most happy that we've got a cricket brain, captain, presence, all combo leading this team right now. And I think that's when you get the most of your moving parts.
I 100% agree with you. And it's not the popular opinion to, you know.
No, I've got nothing against short people.
It's not the popular opinion to criticize Bavuma. But there was a big time in his captaincy where the form wasn't there.
Yep.
And because of the lack of form, the leadership wasn't there. So right now we've got Markram doing everything right. And I don't think it's a coincidence that we're undefeated and people are following on his line. I'm so happy on that.
So I'll go actually a step further, and Reeza Hendricks thankfully came good. I mean, the coach said, look, Reeza's been a fantastic player. He's fired for us. He's been terrible this World Cup. And I kept thinking to myself, you know what the guy to actually have in this team right now is? None other than Temba Bavuma, because the Oaks got solid technique. He's a solid accumulator of runs. These pitches have been sticky. I look at that and I think, shit, if there was ever a tournament for Temba to be the batsman here that he is, in my mind, it was this. And of course, there's no point going over this now, because Reeza came good in the semi. I still think he's a great player.
I told you, I'm not backing Temba Bavuma in this format of the game. You can try to convince me any other way. He's just been so inconsistent, and I'm not trying to be harsh, just trying to be truthful. He deserved to be dropped before this World Cup, and I said it's...
As a captain, all day.
And the form wasn't there. And there were better players coming through.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a coincidence that we're doing this good without Temba Bavuma.
Yeah, look, there is that. I think the guys got a bit of a rough deal, because it was like, okay, you must be the captain. You must do all these things. And the Oak is just a good batsman.
Yeah.
Nothing against him, but I just think there's certain people who can lead teams and there's some people who should just be players.
100%.
And we saw it with Quinny, because that time period for me was pivotal.
Yeah.
There's a player. He's not a leader.
Yeah.
There's a player. He's not a leader. Yeah. Markram, I think he struggled so long because he was trying so hard to be the player, when actually he should have been given leadership, because sometimes leadership chills you out a bit.
100%.
It can make you into a cheat like Hansi, or it can just mature you like Graham.
R.I.P.
Sometimes you give someone captaincy and you give someone leadership and something magical happens. I mean, Graham Smith was what, 22 when he became captain of the Proteas?
That's one of my favorite captains of all time.
Exactly, because he was given it and he was forced to become that person. Yeah. So obviously India are now playing England in the other semi-final, which they've orchestrate it for themselves because they want to play there at that pitch at that time.
Please, can you explain, before you even get into like the X's and O's of this game, how did this happen?
Well, they're the biggest markets in cricket. They own the IPL and they basically own everyone in cricket.
So it is, it is what we knew it was. It is.
If this final suddenly ends up being in Chennai, I wouldn't be surprised. Seriously.
So what happens if, you know, the unthinkable happens and England does, you know, what it does and just goes through and beats India?
I reckon four of the Oaks will be drug tested. They'll be planted with something.
Yeah.
And they'll probably have a default. No, sorry, guys, you can't go through.
Yeah, so I think they're India's outright favorites. We all know
that. Yeah, I know they are. For good reason.
For good reason. They're also undefeated, if I'm correct, with, yes, with the washout game. England. Now, don't usually appeal to English people. Please. We want to celebrate. Please, can you just beat India for the rest of the cricketing world and for everybody who loves South Africa? We need this one.
Yeah.
Because if we go against India, and I hate to doubt, you know, South African cricket and where we are, the Indian team is just too well balanced. They're built for big tournaments, top to bottom. They are flawless, I'd like to say. And I just hope England, you know, could have done it before. I hope England puts in a good shift. They've got great balance in their team. I think, you know, us beating them was, you know, one, great for us, but that team is complete. You know, I think it's going to be a lot closer than, you know, people make it out to be. A lot of people think it's just going to be outright, you know. And this format of the game is so exciting that you never know what can happen. You know, we saw it with, you know, Afghanistan and Australia, but I'm really hoping.
I'm also hoping. But I'm also hoping that karma plays a role.
Yes.
It's because these guys have taken the piss a little bit too long. And yes, I get it. Like, they have all the money because they got the big market and that kind of stuff. But sometimes the cricketing gods, which are probably Indian, if you think about it. So we screwed there either way. Anyway, I think fate's going to play its role here. Like I said this in the intro, 32 years since we've had a chance to be in an ICC Men's Cricket World Cup final. 32 years. This is it.
Yeah, this is.
So, I mean, I think fate's like, I've been quite relaxed this World Cup. It's the first time I've been relaxed. I look at this team and I think, we got the players. I look at the form and I go, okay, we won, but like barely. But this team has made me quite calm. Either that or I'm just so jaded at this stage.
I think you're jaded. I remember I've been having like heart attacks even in the last skits. I was like, Nepal, I can't believe you.
I'm just so dead inside that I'm basically watching this like Cliff Richard's eyes. It's just, they're there, but
I'm excited. And, you know, like I've been saying with the previous formats of all the other sports, for the first time, all South African sports is doing great, you know. So let's bring it on, boys. Jeez, guys, please.
Yeah.
Please. I think my dad is so excited now. He had written him off. He said, I will not invest into this. And then yesterday when
I wonder where he gets that from.
No. He said, this, and then he said, you know, finally we can give Alan Donald a break. So I really hope we win this thing and, you know, we can go back to celebrating Alan Donald for the great that he is.
Yeah.
Because once that happens, you know, Alan Donald, we forgive you. I will say this on behalf of the show. If we lift it, all bets are off. You can unblock me on Twitter.
Sounds fair. All right. So look, the game India-England kicks off, I think, 15 minutes from now if you're watching us live. We'll get into that a little bit there in the show. But Springboks squad was announced after a solid win over Wales. I mean, solid, like 14-13 halftime. It did look quite tight. You know, obviously with new combinations coming together, you're essentially playing away. I get it. But that second half, they pulled away with, it was just really impressive to watch.
For me, and we talked about it last week, was how are the veterans going to blend with the new guys? The new guys really showed out. I really like, you know, Sasha Feinberg Gomezulu, how he performed. Obviously, he's got his highlights. He's got his shout out to Frans Steyn kick.
Yeah, exactly.
That was awesome. Apelele Fassi just felt like he slotted right in. Hands, no mistakes, looked like he could control himself. I really liked how the young guys and the old guys really came together. It's very scary for what moves forward when all the guys come back in.
Exactly. And to know what that first team is. And I think that's one of the greatest hallmarks of Rassie's time is what he's created as a team. Because all of those Oaks, you can just see, they couldn't wait to get into that field.
Yeah.
And I know deep down, young, old, whatever, those folks love playing in the same team with each other. Yeah. It means that much to all of them. And they put themselves on the line for that. There's very few teams can actually have that.
Yeah.
Every team will say it and they'll go to the press and they'll talk about how they play for each other and the jersey means so much.
Yeah.
But when you watch the box, it's like that's the example of it. They are the epitome of that.
And for me, and there's another thing I wanted to ask and I wanted to ask you. Is it not because of Peter Steptoe's leadership? I think he is probably going to be the next captain because Rossi keeps on alluding that he's going to go get a new captain. So yeah. I love Peter Steph as a leader because it doesn't seem like he says a lot, but he's action-based. So that was one of the big things I saw as well. And also when Sasha asked for the ball, he just gave it to him and boom. And, you know, that shows the trust that they have in him and in that system holistically.
Well, you bring up the whole thing around Sia. So obviously his French coach, guy from Racing 92, was suggesting that maybe he isn't the person that we were hoping he would be. He put a bit of weight on. He wasn't the physical presence on the field. And Rossi this week, when he announced Sia as captain, was very forthright in saying, Sia's the captain, he's number six, he is fit, he is great. Basically, shut your mouth.
I'm with him on that. Shut your mouth.
Exactly.
Are you to say that, man?
To be really critical, if we were to really work it out, Sia Khaleesi's best days probably are behind him. But an 80% Sia Khaleesi, a 70% Sia Khaleesi, you pick that guy.
I mean, Sia Khaleesi is all-time great in the sport.
He is.
And you pick him, you know. He hasn't shown, I haven't seen when he's on the pitch, him being past his prime, you know. He's been consistent. The game has changed.
Yeah.
And he's adjusted to that. Now, of course, you're not going to be as physical at 23 as...
Well, that's just it. I mean, when I say he's past his prime, I mean, that's a very high prime and everyone plays with that. Yeah. And a lot of people actually play good careers after their primes.
Yeah.
Just be critical.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there might be someone else that comes into the fray as a captain who might be more on an upward trajectory.
Yeah.
It's one of those things I'm not worried about. You know, when something's so good, you're not so worried about it. Yeah. Like, you know, if you're having a great party and someone goes, we might run out of snacks, but you're like... Yeah, but we got a great DJ. We got all the drinks in the world. We got a great location. We got people. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
I feel like there's nothing to worry about with this team at all.
Yeah. So for me, Ben, what was cool about, you know, obviously we had to put the work on Wales. What was cool for me is when they brought up Mampimpi's fun fact, I didn't know he's number four or tied with John de Villiers at number four for all time, you know, test scores at 27. Strike rate of like 64%.
Crazy strike rate.
I was like, and I was going through that list. I'm like, there's some players on that list who I got to put proper respect on. As great as Jacques Ferry was, I did not know that he was number three. Obviously, we know who the GOAT is. We know BH is always going to be the GOAT.
BH is the GOAT. Like, he's the GOAT by the length of two other GOATs.
Yeah, he is. He's GOAT supreme, you know. Yeah. You know, and Mampimpi, I was like, geez, okay, for this as little caps, because the caps are so little. I was like, that's great. That means your strike rate's immaculate. So that was a fun fact. But for me, clinical. I think we did it for ratings in the first half. But then we just got down to the Springbok business. And I think this Irish team, because we're going to probably allude to, you know, the squad selection. When I saw our Irish team that we take into, you know, that we're going against those guys, we've got great depth in this country. And
absolutely.
I think the players who didn't make it into the national team, they can't take any much issue for them. Their time will come. It's just we're just in such a great part in South African, you know, Springbok rugby right now. It's you walk into any other team.
Yeah, I mean, if you were to pick out just one person, okay, because you can go through the squad and there's 39 that got announced. I think 24 based in SA, and then the rest are scattered around. But you know, Elric Lowe, if you look at that guy from the Bulls, if you look at all his stats in the URC, he's in the top three of like the where you want an eighth man to be. Ivan Roos, people say that he's quite weak in the turnover. He might be a discipline factor, which I think is more of a two seasons ago opinion, not a current season opinion.
Yep.
But that both of them are 24. Like, how crazy in that there's so much competition between the young guys. And then we've got Jasper Visser. We've got Cameron Hunnicom as well, who injured his hamstring in the Bulls game. There is so much. And we've got the overseas guys. Like I said, there's just so much to be excited about here. Now, we have to touch on the Bulls thing. Because I know I could talk about the box for like another hour or two.
Yeah, I get
But
you.
I was at Loftus on Saturday.
Cool.
And it was sad. It was actually sad to see that all unravel. That first half, it was like they were going through their work. They knew what they were doing, high felt advantage, all these things. And then suddenly,
ill-discipline, everything.
13-0 with 42 minutes of rugby left, essentially. Don't ever concede before the gap, before the break. Got it. There was something about that was beautiful. Now, I watched the game with my mate Darby. He's a Bull supporter, very knowledgeable guy, and he'll pick out little things here and there. Great guy to watch rugby with. And he just said, you know, back in the days, the glory days of the Bulls, they were so clinical on the basics.
Yeah.
Like they could exit from their 22. They knew what they were doing at a scrum time. They would always make use of the overlap and those kind of things. And kicking was clinical. As he was saying that, we saw the ball come up from the kickoff. I think Elric Lowe knocked it on straight to Kirtley Aronson, offside position. Yeah. Kick for the corner, score 7 points. And the game literally just tilted like that.
Yeah.
Johan Coursen kicks the ball dead when they should have got a penalty. Line out attacking, all those little things add up in a final to you not winning. And it was just so sad because it was all happening. Like, I know what's happening next. You can see it happening in front of you. And it must be so painful for these youngsters who don't have the experience.
Exactly.
Because as great as the Bulls are, I think they probably played their final in the semi against Leinster. Because that's where they stood up. But shit, that Glasgow team, talk about playing to your strengths and playing within yourself.
But we called it. We said they probably played their best game against Leinster. And it's sad to see them, you know, go down like that. But I know the young guys, you take experience like that and you put it into your next game, you know. Hopefully it's a motivator. That was they lost the game. And that what frustrates me.
They did. And you know what? I'll give you one more stat. I don't want to get too stats heavy on the show, otherwise we'll just have screens in front of us.
100%.
We could be like that all day.
Yeah.
But the Bulls, and it's not exact, I think they missed 41 tackles in the final.
Imagine.
Glasgow Warriors, okay, now how hardcore was their playoffs, right?
Yeah.
And they were away from home for two of those games.
Yeah.
They missed 40 tackles over those three games in the playoffs. So again, you go back to these little basics and you think, okay, well, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, not exactly a surprise.
And I think what made it even worse for me was Jake Swite's comments after this.
Was he drunk?
It's what we were talking about Rory last week. There's nothing worse than being beat and not having the class to admit that you're being beat. He was telling us about you got to play away and two refs and two.
I had to watch it three times to understand what he was talking about.
Jake, you lost. Just say congratulations. We didn't play our game.
Yeah.
We should have been better. And I don't know. I don't want to say it's so Jake White-ish not to take accountability or try shift it away from the players, which it might be a great management tool for him, you know, just to protect his players and blame something else. You know, Jose Mourinho is notorious for doing that in the past, just to make sure you shield your team. But it came across as such a, you know, sore loser vibes.
Sorry, I almost had a sneeze there. It's just, yeah, no, you're so right. Like I said, I had to watch that thing three times to work out what he was actually getting at.
No idea.
But there was, you know, again, okay, the Bulls lost at home, but there is so much to take out of that season. If you look at that team, now Rossi announces his squad. I think only six Oaks, maybe it was eight, like six guys from the Bulls team went into the Bok team. So it's not like it's a Bok side. It's not like it's heavily laden. It's not like we are the Leinster version of a local franchise team.
Yeah,
there's a lot of inexperienced guys there, a lot of talent, but shit, when it comes to a final, that also happens. And Jake could have used that moment to say, I'm so proud of my guys for winning like they did against Leinster and coming up just short here.
Yeah, and be accountable. You know, that's for me, it was Jake not being accountable for the loss, because strategically, I think he got it wrong after halftime.
He did.
Which is a big thing that we discussed earlier. He did the first 40 right. You got to finish off the game, take accountability for yourself, and then we move forward with that.
But they lacked penetration without Vili, though, huh?
Oh.
Can't get away from that.
You can't get
away. There's no I in team,
but there's
I in Vili.
Vili, let's go.
And shit, he was missed. Huh? He was missed so much.
He was missed, but I think it was just the youth. I think it was just the youth. The moment was too big. And, you know, and it's so unlike a Jake White team for in a moment to be that big, you know. And it was just, you know, but you learn from that. And that's what builds a culture in the team. Because those guys are going to be there next season, hopefully. Nothing exciting happens.
Yeah.
But those guys carry the franchise. And, you know, you reward them for all the excellence that they've done throughout the season.
Exactly. I don't think it's a really bad thing. I mean, I was there. Obviously, people in Pretoria were really upset. But, you know, this is also sport, huh? You get to a final.
Benny and Cook must have been triple platinum there.
It was going hard. That was going hard. That was, Look, I only had about three or four. But it was, you know, when in Rome. When in Rome. Okay, so in the Euros, group stage wrapped up. I think it's been quite interesting because, you know, when you watch World Cups, if you like I'm not the biggest football fan.
Yeah.
I watch enough to know what's going on, and I know enough and I appreciate enough. And like for me, to watch the World Cup and there's some one-sided matches and it's like it's a bit fun. It's so competitive in the Euros, though, which I love. It's so unpredictable because it's so competitive.
Yeah, I think I've enjoyed these Euros because they're teams that, you know, usually we just push on them to the side and we usually think that they aren't capable of doing, you know, X, Y, and Z. My favorite team, and their story's been amazing, has been Georgia.
Yeah.
Oh.
Am I right in saying this is their first major tournament?
Where did they come from? You know, I was just like, and when they beat Portugal last night, I'm like, and also they beat them. There's no luck.
Yeah, that was a beat.
And like, Cristiano kicking bottles everywhere because he understands that his team, at full strength, has been outplayed. Austria. I have got nothing but respect for Austria. And shout out to Man United legend, Sabitzer. They've been great throughout. And they've been enterprising. They can score everywhere. Their press is amazing. So this Euros, like, you know, we've been talking about the World Cup, this Euros has been super impressive to watch how far other people's, you know, programs have come through in world football. And, you know, going to the round of 16, when we'll probably touch on it a bit later, is, I think for me, that is the best stories. Do you want to talk about the snooze fest?
I want to get your take on the groups, okay? It's like a snapshot from the group. So group A, I mean, obviously, so just to give you a kind of example here. Yeah. Germany and Switzerland have gone through, okay? So Germany first, Switzerland second.
Switzerland also a shocker. Shocker.
Shocker that they were that good.
That they would have been that good.
Well, I mean, it was a draw between them and Germany in the last game, okay?
Exactly.
Big surprise.
Big surprise. And, you know, we've been, you know, Germany are now outward favorites. You know, well, let me not say outward favorites. They're my favorites to go through and win it all.
But they were your favorites from the start, though.
Yeah. And I mean, for like, them to pick up that point is very big, especially because Germany's playing at home.
Yeah.
That means they've got something more in the tank.
Yeah, it's true, actually, because, I mean, look, they would have gone through either way. The fact that they fought right to the end there and got that equalizer, credit to them. Yeah. So Group B, Spain, Italy, they've gone through. Spain, 3 out of 3, dominant. Italy, second, up and down. A win, a loss, and a draw.
Italy. I've got my theory about Italy. Never great in tournaments, but always there.
So just playing possum in the group stages, but they'll be there somehow.
Write them off.
Defending champions, Italy.
Exactly. Exactly. And Italy will always be BMT. They always be built for the big occasion. No matter what, it's just in their culture. Yeah. And when we talk about round of 16, I'm going to tell you why I'm going to back that team.
Okay. And Spain, I mean, how far do you reckon they can go? Because
Spain can go all the way, but I'm more excited about what Spain have got moving forward.
Yeah.
Moving into the next World Cup.
Exactly. They've got a slingshot of a lot of talent coming through.
Yamal and Williams on the wing. They're going, the guy's only 16. I cannot believe it. What were you doing?
That is so crazy. Wow. If you're 16, your dad takes you to one of these games. It's a big deal.
And he's going against grown professionals and making them sleep. And like,
it's crazy.
I think Spain, once again, bringing talent through the ranks, they're going to be awesome moving into the future.
All right. Group C, which was basically the biggest snooze fest ever. There were seven goals scored in this group. The joint lowest in a major tournament. England, shite. Denmark, hopes weren't exactly high. And Slovenia and Serbia, they were making up the numbers there. But England topped the group by doing
nothing.
Nothing.
And like nothing. What is crazy about England, and we had them as outward favorites because they've got, you know, the best player in La Liga. They've got the best striker in, you know, Bundesliga. They literally have done nothing. They've got the Premier League Player of the Year. They have done nothing. Gareth Southgate, please let us know what we need to send to you. We need to send you clearly some highlights, some notes. It's crazy how bad Gareth Southgate has been. Just go let them play or do something. But their scoring has been terrible. Harry Kane's got one goal. Jude Bellingham didn't complete, didn't make any chances last game. There's clearly something very wrong with Gareth Southgate's tactics.
Well, you would think, yeah. I mean, I know what happens is everyone piles on social media because it becomes a trend, but how do you not get a tune out of that team?
Like anything.
Yeah.
Like anything. And I think they've checked out of Gareth Southgate because it is probably his last run because they've been so bad throughout this tournament. Because this was meant to be the most expansive, you know, English team. Top to bottom, they're so complete. We were raving about them. They were outward favorites over France and Germany. And right now, we hope that they make it through to the next round, you know, and then the last eight.
Yeah.
So Group C, don't even worry about it.
Group C,
let's move right along.
I was actually falling asleep during all of that. Seriously. So Group D, as you said, Austria have been phenomenal.
Oh, Austria.
France kind of haven't hit the straps just yet. Obviously, there was the injury from Mbappe. Netherlands have snuck through on the, one of the best losers, the lucky loser positions. But again, like nothing inspires me about the Netherlands. I know you had them as dark horse, but or is this where they're starting to show no, the dark
horse? They are out of here. France are doing what Italy generally does. Let's just get through it. Let's make sure Mbappe is fit. You know, let's just get through it. We don't have to give everything now. I really expect them to give us more. Austria, like everybody else, flat out shocked.
Yeah.
And we should respect that, you know, that team moving forward, even dangerous. outside of these Euros. They play for each other and they play enterprising football from fullbacks all the way to strikers. You know, Sabitzer, I didn't know Sabitzer was that good. And people have always been saying he is that good, put him in the right system. And now he's just playing free-flowing football. I'm super excited for Austria.
All right, into Group E, which also was a bit of a surprise. Okay, look, it's a surprise numerically as well.
Okay.
Because all four teams ended on 4 points. You look at this and think, what happened here? So yeah, they all had the exact same win, draw, loss. Romania ended up coming up trumps there. Belgium second. They've gone through. Slovakia, lucky losers again. I mean, you got to think Ukraine, huh? If everyone was a nation, needed a bit of luck. They got 4 points.
Just a bit of luck.
They got 4 points. They haven't even gone through.
I think Belgium are lucky. It's actually flattering them for them to be that far. They are the worst golden generation of all time.
I think at some stage we need to downscale to a bronze generation.
Oh, just a generation.
Just a generation.
Just a copper. We can't even gourd. You know, all this golden stuff. Like, they're meant to be so good. I can rave and talk terribly about Belgium, but they'll be exiting very soon. And you know what? They should. Everybody else should be through. They really stood up to, you know, their opponent. And that group was very exciting. You know, like we always say, Ukraine deserved something. They really deserved something. It was just unfortunate with them. And, you know, that group was really good. But Belgium, it's been emotional. You're out of your scene.
Yeah, pretty much.
Can't wait to get over this part of my life, actually.
Pretty much. So Group F, final group, we saw, or we spoke about already, that Georgia beat Portugal yesterday, which was a big thing. So now they go through as a lucky loser. Yeah. I don't know if that's a real phrase. I know it sounds quite derogatory, but basically that's what happens. Yeah. Some third places do get through. Yeah. But first place, Portugal, they were already first place before the last match. And then Turkey have also gone through. So, yeah, again, like, no problems there. Czechia, it was Czechoslovakia. I still can't quite work that one out. They gone, we know that much.
Yeah, yesterday's loss showed me that Portugal got some problems coming up. And
but do you reckon, or is it just a case of it's Georgia, it's our last game? Because I never believe in that. I believe every time that you run out as a professional, you've got to play your best, otherwise you might get injured. You never half-heart anything.
Yeah, so I really think that Georgia game showed me that Portugal don't actually have the heart to get through it. Because we all know if your captain's going to throw hissy fits, it's going to trickle down. And he hadn't been throwing his hissy fits until yesterday's game. And he was wincing and whining. When he got the yellow card, I was like, aha, this is when, you know, they're going to question his leadership again. And all he's going to do is blame players. So you break the confidence of your young guys going into the next round.
Yeah, good points.
And then you've got a team in the round of 16 who's hungry just to play. You know, and that's why I kind of have, you know, my issues with what's going to happen next with Portugal.
So there was a pivotal moment in that game as well, I thought. You know, they were only one down against a team they knew they could beat.
Yeah.
And then a guy got booked for simulation. It was a clear dive.
Yes.
And I was like, yeah, guys, it's not going your way today.
Yeah, it's not going your
You've
way
got to play harder. You've actually got to fight this one a little bit more. And it was the shock and the look in their eyes.
And that's been the criticism of Portugal for, you know, many years, is that they don't have the thing. which you need, especially when a team is tough as nails and wants to play to get through. And that's what Georgia did. They played tough and they made sure they won. Yeah, and they were playing for something very serious.
All righty. So there's obviously a rest day for today and tomorrow, Friday. But Saturday, we are back in with the round of 16. So this is a very exciting part of the weekend. Switzerland, Italy, straight away. I'm just going to ask for gut takes in this. We'll get to the calls a little bit later. But Switzerland, Italy, 6 o'clock Saturday.
Okay. Just, I know you disagree with me on this.
Just give me the name.
Italy.
Italy. Cool. I'm behind them all the way. I love Italy. Germany versus Denmark at 9 o'clock.
Oh, of course, it's going to be Germany.
Feel like easy. Sunday, we got England versus Slovakia. How lucky are England with all these this draw?
You know, I'm going to let England go through. I don't even care about them.
No, they'll eke through maybe like injury time.
1-0 penalties. I'm going with the penalties.
1-0. Okay, Spain, Georgia. You're going to back Spain as well.
And I feel so bad for Georgia.
Yeah, but again, just to get to this point is huge for them. So I don't think they'll feel that bad. Yeah. Then we got Monday, France versus Belgium. Great game at 6 o'clock.
France, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Portugal, Slovenia, 9.
Slovenia.
Then we got Romania versus Netherlands. Is that right?
Yep.
6 o'clock.
Yep.
Okay. And then Austria, Turkey at 9. So I'm thinking.
I've got
your dark horse, you reckon?
I've got my dark horse.
Okay. So you're picking Netherlands and Austria to go through. Yeah. Right. Now, what's also happening, you can notice if you take a step down here, CASAFA Cup right now. I just got to ask, because I mean, maybe this is just the ignoramus of me as a football player, but how important is the CASAFA Cup? It feels like it's like, oh, and then there's also this tournament. I mean, there's 12 teams, right? From Kenya down. That's how it works, right?
It's the SADC, Cup.
Yeah. I just thought Kenya was too far north for that. But anyway, 12 teams, three pools of four.
Look, CASAFA Cup used to have its time and place. It was always the development, national team development cup of, you know, letting the young guys who don't make a national team represent their team at some point. I do not.
Kind of like the Olympics was.
Not even. The Olympics is the Olympics. CASAFA Cup is so outdated. Do not even get me started on how much I wish this trophy doesn't exist. It's no longer marketable. You no longer care about it. Nobody gets entertained by it. It doesn't fill up any stadiums. Why do we still have it? It's so old, and even SAFA and the people around it don't care about it. I wish they could just can this tournament and just rather go through camps than everybody go do their camps, go trial, because nobody cares about CASAFA Cup. It is one of those things we've just carried through from, you know, the early 90s because the schedules of players weren't packed. Now you've got a packed schedule where you've got AFCON qualifiers, World Cup qualifiers.
Exactly.
People playing in Europe. People you never get when you, back in the day where you used to get your best players going to CASAFA Cup. Even if they were development players, you used to get the cream of the cream going to go there. Now you just hear about the CASAFA Cup because it randomly popped up on your timeline. It's not even on any national television. Oh, CASAFA Cup is so outdated, guys. Please, and I don't like to bang on sports like this, but please, guys, get rid of the CASAFA Cup. It's not worth it anymore. Or just make it purely an under-23 thing. And that's where, you know, initially, that's where you used to take your under-23 team and you used to make them get their national caps there. Now you've got pros and above 23s, and they need to change. You know, they need to change how they do the CASAFA Cup. But for me, can it? It's no longer exciting. I was even surprised that you were telling me CASAFA Cup was coming through. I was like, what is this line item? I have nothing exciting. And I think, what did we do? Did we draw? Did Bafana draw?
We drew with Mozambique.
Exactly.
It was a 1-1.
Who cares? Yeah. I found that out because you told me that we played. And cool. That is, you know, the issue about the CASAFA Cup. I could rage on about how bad it is as a tournament, but it's not entertainment. Me as a fan of football and anybody else, nobody goes to the stadium for that tournament.
Be at the one stadium, the Nelson Mandela Bay Stadium. I mean, all the games are there. If your tournament takes place in one stadium, it's probably not a tournament. All right, Austrian Grand Prix. Now, the Grand Prix last week, we said it was going to be a pivotal moment in the season.
Yeah.
What happened? Verstappen won. So for your average person, they're going to look away and go, oh, no shit. But he won by a very small margin. The beginning of the season, when Verstappen won, he won by like 20 seconds.
Yeah.
As in, he won by a whole race. Now, the cars are becoming better and better. And something I've learned this season is that there's actually there's like a handicapping system that's always coming into play. Yeah. I mean, I'm not the biggest F1 fan. So all of you are saying no shit right now. Well, boo-hoo. So Red Bull were so far ahead of everybody, right?
Yeah.
And then they get to a sort of ceiling in their R&D with the money.
Yeah.
And to the point they're so good, they have less time in the wind tunnels than like the shittier everybody teams else, down the low. So they can't keep working on the team. They can't keep making aerodynamics and all that kind of stuff. So other teams are actually catching them up. So we're on a very level playing field here. And I know this all sounds like very much like highfalutin kind of sporting jargon, but look where Sergio Perez is when he races. He's a good racer. We all know he's a good driver, but he is not challenging the top five anymore, right? That is a reflection of where the Red Bull car is. Nice. The fact that Verstappen is still winning with this current car just shows how incredible this oak is. Yeah. Because right now, everybody's saying, and the results are kind of showing, Lando Norris and McLaren, most consistent and they're great. Yep. Mercedes got a very fast car right now, as do Ferrari. Max is somehow taking his car around. I mean, he's just doing wonders here. So Austrian Grand Prix, if you didn't know, there's also a sprint race involved on the Friday. So now we're going to see all these dynamics being stretched even further now. And again, it's can Max continue to get enough out of the car to keep the rest at bay?
I always tell you guys about Max. Max is my new favorite. I'm a Red Bull fan now, and everybody hates it for me. But Max is actually an amazing driver. And I actually wanted to throw this question back to you because we always debate it, and it's a timeline debate thing. Is it the car or is it the driver? Because you've alluded to your middle groundness on this, because Checo's a great driver.
Yeah.
And I don't think that Red Bull car is that far off. So I think he's just having a terrible season as a driver. Do you agree, disagree?
So that's the thing. It's so hard to give a definitive answer on that. But I just think it gives you more of a snapshot that if he, because I mean, seasons passed.
Yeah.
Checo was up there, right?
Yeah.
He was up there. He was a podium guy.
Exactly.
It was Red Bull 1-2s that we saw all the time. Mm. I think that's what bored people the most, because they can have a halo person like a Max.
Yeah.
But the fact his teammate is the whole time.
Yeah.
Then you start thinking, good car.
Yeah.
All of a sudden this season, I can't see him being that bad. So I'm going to go on the driver more than the car. That's how I would sway. But it's always in the mix. It's always in the balance, that thing.
Yeah.
Because ultimately it's motor sport.
You know, I've always been, you know, and I want people in the comments to let me know what they actually, is it the driver or is it the car? But going to Austria, obviously, I have Max's outright favorite. I'm hoping Lando has got something in the tank this time.
Well, I think he just needs to get that sort of belief going, you know. Yeah. Obviously, he won in Miami.
Yeah.
Was it Miami?
Was it Miami?
No, should I got that wrong? He won.
They'll correct us in the comments.
James, by the way, how are we doing in the comments here? Anything we need to press on here? James, you meant to be prompting us here. This is a live show. I had them on the screen. You guys just got to go through. Yeah, but James, the screen's all the way over there. It's not exactly the biggest screen.
Thank you.
Okay, that's awesome. Fantastic. Thank you. Sorry, I mean, also at the same time, we get very stuck in here. So I'm sorry we haven't got to your questions.
We will jump to them at some point.
Yeah.
Is that a fan of yours there, see?
Amazing.
Shout out.
shout out with names and hashtags. Yeah, look, Lando needs a little bit of belief. He is still he's so incredibly young. Just look at his skin. I mean, that oak has literally just come out of like a bad hair day and playing simulator games with his girlfriend. But he will get there. And the fact that his car is now so consistent as well. This is how you make young talent believe in themselves. Max was a young talent.
Yeah.
If he had an up and down car, there's no way he'd be as good as he is. And you got to back yourself at this kind of game.
How did you feel about Lewis?
Great.
I made a huge call.
Lewis has to stay strong in the sport. I want him to stay strong in the sport.
He's got to stay strong. And I made a big call. I remember
two
shows ago, I said, Lewis won't reach the podium. I apologize, guys. I take that back. Shout out to Lewis. They've just been treating him terribly. I just wish his team would back him a little bit more. But let's see what happens into the next race. I'm excited to see what that happens.
Do we know who's replacing Lewis for next season?
They haven't announced.
I just feel really sorry for Carlos Sainz.
Yeah, because it's
like he just got thrown up because Charles Leclerc is like for life.
And it's just this like, well, I don't know what happens with Mina.
Yeah, pretty rough. Yeah. So look, Formula One. So we've got the sprint race and then we've got the race. And the weather's great, if you were wondering. I mean, in previous weeks, the weather's been a bit up and down. Something I actually worry about with the cricket is, you know, because not only have India chosen, also James, what's the update on the cricket there?
James.
Another update on the cricket is that not only have India chosen which semi-final they want to play in, they basically pushed this competition into the rainy season.
What happens if it rains there? Because I know they don't have a rain day.
Well, obviously India go through because they own cricket.
No, but surely that can't be like that.
But now with the week, surely.
Sorry.
Come here with your word surely when you talk about India. But basically, the final, it's raining all weekend in Barbados, like solidly. So we're going to hold thumbs that part of our destiny is that the weather's also going to play ball. Anyway, we have to get into UFC because now we go on tangents. While James gets the cricket score for us there, UFC 303, we spoke about it last week that the card was basically, it's delayed. It's raining.
Raining, yeah.
Okay. Oh, well, look, India are going to go through. They're going to find, now that Duckworth and Lewis is dead, they'll just find someone else. Look, we said UFC 303 was pretty much done and dusted because Conor and Chandler has been taken off.
Yeah.
This sport has depth, like the Springboks, right?
Right.
So, yes, it's not the card we wanted, but it's still actually pretty decent, eh? Now, Alex Pereira, who has become like this guy in the sport since he's basically stalked Israel Adesanya, took his title, went up a division, and then won that, won the light heavyweight title.
Yeah.
Yuri Prochazka, prior to this, was the guy.
Yep.
Got a cripplingly bad shoulder injury to the point where he tore everything. The Oak was out. He had to relinquish his title because he was so badly injured.
Right.
But he was on an amazing trajectory. The Oak can fight, he can grapple, he can wrestle. He's a very much an all-round mixed martial artist. Alex Pereira, we know, is probably the world's greatest kickboxer.
Mm.
This fight, and I'm still going to back Alex, but I think this fight might actually be a little bit closer than people are thinking because both of these Oaks weren't meant to be on this card.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't. They were never going to be the headliner, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It was. We knew it. This is a Conor card. So I think that fight's going to be a lot more interesting than people might have given credit to. Brian Ortega versus Diego Lopez. Now, Brian Ortega's been around for quite a while. Exactly like submission artist, great resume. But this Diego Lopez dude, don't be fooled by the floppy haircut, by the way. This Oak is an absolute killer.
Yeah.
I think his last two fights haven't gone past the minute.
Damn.
This dude's hardcore. Because like in Brazil, there's about 7,000 MMA people, of which another 7,000 try to get to the UFC. It's a violent country. These Oaks know how to fight. Then we've got Anthony Smith, who's like, we haven't used the word yet in the show, stalwart of UFC.
Oh my goodness.
This Oak's got like 38 fights, but he's old.
It's the 50th time Ben's used that.
And his opponent's pulled out. So Roman Dolidze, Georgian, he's come into it. He's a middleweight now fighting light heavyweight. And then we've got, which might actually be fight of the night, Ian Machado, I take my wife's name, Gary, versus Michael Page.
Guys, we support everybody's, you know, right to take whatever they want to take.
No, but this Oak got so ripped by doing this. The entire MMA fraternity just basically turned on him for just being a simp. So I know there's a women's fight in there as well, but like those on the main card, that's a pretty good main card.
Yeah.
And the thing about Ian Gary, Machado Gary, shout out Machado's, people, whenever you're up and coming in the sport, you think of like he's the next Conor. Just like people always say he's the next Tiger or he's like the next LeBron, whatever. But this dude's so talented. He really is. He's a bit of a knob, but he's so talented. He's an incredible striker. And Michael Page is like one of these guys the UFC just pulled out of nowhere, but he's got a huge pedigree already. Right. And he doesn't fight the low guys. He goes straight to the top guys. Yeah. Kind of like Michael Chandler, basically.
Yep. Yep.
That fight is going to be fascinating. They're both quite unorthodox. Michael Page is particular. The Soak fights with a smile on his face. He's having a jaw the whole time.
Cool.
Going to be such a cool card. So I'm pretty excited about that. We've also got Monday, Wimbledon starting.
Yes, sir.
My guy, Yannick's in the top seed. Full Italian, top seed. If Djokovic plays, he'll be second seed.
What is the status on that?
But there's an if. There's an if.
Is it injuries? Is it?
Well, look, I mean, he pulled out of the French Open because of knee surgery.
Oh, he was about to get beat again.
Well, no, it's just that he's like 38 or whatever.
Yeah.
That's got some wear and tear on him. But he pulled out. He hasn't played since then, since that walk-off that he gave to Casper Ruud, basically. Yeah. And then you got your guy, Alcaraz, number three.
Got to do it. I told you this is a combination of Nadal and Federer. I think marketability, everybody loves him. Plays with a certain edge that everybody loves.
Yeah, true.
Got a little bit of a pretty face, so he gets away with a lot of, you know.
There's the kicker.
There's the kicker. But I really think at his age, dominance is on the way. I know your favorite, you trying to back him.
Sinner's just won on grass. Your guy got knocked out of the corners of Queens.
Look, we saw what he did before. It's called DMT. He's coming for the big match. But I really have him because he's been very consistent on all surfaces. We know we discussed it the last time. So I'm hoping he shows up. I'm hoping, you know, tennis is always about what happens on the day. So I'm hoping he goes there, be very aggressive as he usually is. And just be clinical about it. And we'll be following it, our favorites, you know, throughout the progress of, you know, the tournament.
All righty. So this weekend, there is no rugby. We're saving ourselves for the big one next week. And we've got a really big guest coming in for our first guest. We're not going to give away his name just yet. But we know we bring out the big things for you on the show. So this weekend, we got the Euros, we got MMA, we got Formula One, and of course, we got the cricket, weather depending. But it's time to make some calls. It's time to give you what we feel is worth backing this week on Superbets. All righty, into the weekend, which obviously means big calls. I mean, Sandile, we haven't been the best of the calls so far.
I've been big.
I know you've gone big. Like, the Bulls really burnt me last week. I played it safe and the Bulls burnt me last week.
Yeah.
Okay, so this weekend, this is what I'm going to do. Yeah. You know I love the UFC.
Yeah.
And you know I love the Proteas.
Let's do it.
Okay, so I'm going to bet, and I know I'm going with the favorites here again, but Pereira to win in the light heavyweight title fight. I'm going to go with Diego Lopez because I think this oak is, as they say in Cape Town, kakafalik. He is.
Kakafalik. Shout out to the brainers.
You should see him fight. And then I'm going to back the Proteas. I mean, the Proteas, if you look at Superbets right now, I think they're on 1.35 to take it.
So we're tied with, we should be tied.
So I think it's like neck and neck with India. It's like tied favorites, which, you know, credit where credit's due. So, you know, putting that down, I'm getting, I think, 5, 6, 7 back. So $100 down gets me 5, 6, 7, which I think is okay over like a little multiplier there. You are going to go for Euros.
Let me go into my Euros. I've got Italy winning 2-0. And I said, guys, I know you weirded out, but it's BMT Italy.
Yeah.
I've got Germany, obviously, outright favorites for the tournament. I've got them at 2-0. And then I've got France, just keeping it classy. I've got them at 1-0.
All right. That will get you probably just over 6, actually. So between like, yeah. Because I mean, obviously, you're subject to change with these things. So when we do give you these kind of tips, obviously, we're sharing with you live, but then more people bet. That's how these things work. Just on that, okay? So your 100 down will probably get you around sort of 500-600 rand.
Yep.
Another thing that's really great about football, especially at this stage of the tournament, is the BTS bet. Both teams to score. That's so, like an acronym you really should know when it comes to betting. So if you go on to Superbets, find your game, okay? So let's just say Switzerland, Italy, or Germany, Denmark, whatever it is. Go into the more market section there, and then you'll find your both teams to score bets. It's a really cool thing to do because, I mean, this is high stakes football, right?
Yeah, it's high stakes football, and we're getting to the, like, the really, really tasty part of the tournament. So there are going to be a lot of 2-1s, 3-1s. So really do spread out, you know, your BTS on that.
Yeah. Speaking of another acronym you should know when it comes to betting is OTB. And that is the code you put in if you're a new player on Superbets, because you can get up to 5,000 Rand in deposit matches. Pretty cool if you're a new player.
Awesome.
I mean, we've given you more than enough reasons to watch sport this weekend. There is so much to get into.
100%.
Damn, I'm so excited about the Proteas. James, are we still on delay with the actual game? Okay, so there's no game there. Okay, so look, India, England, whatever's going to happen, the India are going to get through. It's going to be India SA final. It's the only way I want it.
It's going to be the true battle of South Africa in that competition. And I really hope Proteas bring it home, you know. We've been waiting so long for Protea glory, and we get to put some old curses away. And I'm crossing fingers for Alan Donald, please.
Yeah, I really like what you said there. You said Protea glory.
Yes.
I'm tired of hearing Protea fire. Yeah, I want more than fire.
They got to rechange that.
That's like saying, come to my bra, I've got a fire. No, I want the flace. I want you to whip something out that I can really get my teeth into.
No, 100%.
That's what I want. And Protea glory sounds so much better. James, can you make the screen a bit bigger? I mean, I've got good eyes, but I can't see that. You reckon? Okay, so Nico reckons England are going to surprise the Indians just now.
If they get onto the pitch, brother.
Yeah. No, Nico, look, I mean, I just think India needs a bit of karma against them because I think they've pushed out a whole bunch of trash.
Yep.
And I think they've really overcapitalized in this whole, we've got the biggest market in cricket. So I won't be upset about England losing, but like for me, it's like when the box get to the World Cup final, I want them to play a full strength All Black side.
100%.
I don't want them to play like a flu ridden Scottish team.
No, I agree with you. And Nico, I feel
best,
you.
Best.
Nico, I feel you. Please give them all the good vibes. If you've got a rain guard, please reach out, send them a please call me.
Yeah, look, we're all going to hope for the best here. That pretty much wraps it up. Yeah. But what I must say as we finish here, this week on The Real Network, we reached 50,000 subscribers. 50,000 people out there want to watch content like this. They want to watch us, the Shady Podcast, the Gareth Cliff Show, obviously the On The Bounce Show with us. And someone's going to win 50K because that was the deal, right? We get 50,000, 50,000 rand. Someone's going to get it. So that's it. Our community's growing. It's an awesome place to be. And of course, if you are watching this live with us every Thursday or catch the podcast wherever you get your podcast, this is going to be it. And there is talk of a second show. It's going to leave it out there.
Okay.
There's talk of it.
That's breaking news for me.
That's it for this week. Go Proteas. Go all the bets on the Euros. And actually, you know what? Go Max.
Go Max.
I'm not the big.
Say that louder.
Go Max. Go Max in your less than optimal car.
Yes. That's us, guys. This is On The Bounce. My name is Sandy Deshanga.
And I'm Ben Kopinski. Catch you next week.